Thanks, Perry. I hope everybody's having a great morning. Show of hands real quick. How many of you got up and got dressed? How many of you are in your PJs? Okay. All right. Well, I got dressed partially. I'm wearing an actual shirt on top. I'm in PJs on the bottom. You'll never know if that's true. But today we're going to get started with the message. We're still going to stay in our series, Jesus Is. But today's message is going to be called Jesus Is in the Boat. Actually, it's kind of funny. I wanted to share a whole nother message before all of this stuff happened. And my other message was going to be called Jesus Is Here. And it was this whole story about Andrew and Peter. And the Bible says how Andrew found Jesus first and went and got his brother Peter and said, "Hey, we found the Messiah. You got to come see him." And he brought Peter to Jesus. And the rest is history. Peter becomes one of the greatest missionaries and leaders of the church. But the funny thing about it is the whole point of the message was about inviting people and bringing people to church, and then we get shut down. So you can't bring anybody with you. So I felt like that message probably wouldn't work well today. Decided to go a different direction. So if you would, if you got your Bibles out this morning, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 35, and we're going to read a story that maybe you've heard quite a few times before, maybe you haven't, but the Gospels, all of the writers use this story. They all talk about this story, but this is the story of Jesus calming the storm. And I felt this was appropriate today because so many of us feel like we're in a storm. This whole coronavirus thing, in and of itself, is probably a storm, but in reality, like, there's so many other things attached to it. So right now, with businesses shutting down, with people getting laid off, relationships having some issues, they say one of the biggest problems after this whole quarantine thing is over is people that aren't used to being home together are going to have a lot of problems and issues that they have to deal with, that kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of things that can happen in the middle of this. And for some of us, we feel like we're in the middle of a storm. Maybe your anxiety has started to rise up. That's something we talked about on our community page earlier this week. My wife and I did. We talked about how many times we just get anxious over some stuff, or fear gets in us. And so I felt like talking about a storm today would be appropriate. And so in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it says, "As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross over to the other side of the lake.' So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?' When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Silence, be still.' Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?' The disciples were absolutely terrified. 'Who is this man?' they asked each other. 'Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Now, if you're used to listening to me preach, you know what I like to do. I love to take a story out of the Bible and go through and kind of break it down. So today what we want to do is we're going to go through and break that down. We're going to look at a couple of the verses in that story and see how they might apply to us. So the first thing I want you to look at is in Mark chapter 4, verse 38. It's the very first part of that. It's about being comfortable being uncomfortable. I know that sounds confusing, but we've got to learn how to be comfortable in being uncomfortable. The Bible says that Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Now think about that for a second. They're in a boat. They're going across a lake. A storm hits. The disciples, who are some of these guys, are trained fishermen. They're used to being in a boat. Like, this should not be abnormal for them. And they're freaking out, right? Like, they're screaming and they're shouting and they're trying to get the water out of the boat and they're scared. And what is Jesus doing the whole time? He is asleep on a cushion at the back of the boat. Like, sometimes that kind of stuff in a story, like, when we read it, we kind of go through it really fast. For me, that stands out. That in the middle of a storm, in the middle of everybody drowning and freaking out, there's Jesus at perfect peace, totally comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. You know, today's society, it's all about comfort. Like, we want to be comfortable. We want things to go our way. And if things don't go our way, right? Then we really struggle and we can't deal with it and we get upset and we leave and we back out. Like the first time in a relationship that things don't go the way we want them to go, then we're ready to wash our hands of it and walk away. The first time we go to a job and that boss isn't just pampering us and you know, patting our little booty and helping us go, then we want to just walk away and quit. I give up. I don't want to work here. The first time we get on a team and we don't get the starting position, then we're just ready to give up and walk away and throw everything out. I feel like that's kind of the way our society is driven. And so therefore, whenever we get into an uncomfortable situation, we don't know how to deal with it. We don't know what to do. But in reality, we need to all learn how to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. One of the things that I love to do that I noticed is I love fitness. I love to exercise. It's one of my favorite things. But I remember I used to go to this gym, and at this gym, it was kind of, it was a gym that was built into a hospital. And so you had a lot of doctors, you know, very wealthy people working out there. And then you had a lot of the elderly, like rehab patients working out there too. And so the air was nice and cool. Everything was perfect and pristine. And they had windows, but they had the shades down. So you never had sun in your eyes. You never had to sweat. I mean, it didn't matter what you did. The AC was kicking. And in the wintertime, the heat was on. And so it was always very comfortable. And I remember the first time I went to a different style gym. I go to CrossFit here in Trustville. The first time I went to CrossFit Trustville, and I walked in, and there's no AC, and they have the bay doors rolled up, and the sun is beating down on you. They say, go run outside, and you're running outside. You're not running around a nice little track. And I mean, I don't sweat very often. I was sweating, you know, like I was pouring. And right now during the quarantine, we're working out in the garage with not a lot of airflow. And I mean, I'm sweating and dying, you know, is how it feels. But over time, I've learned when I first started doing that, I thought, I can't handle this. I'm going to die. You know, like I will die. But it was because I had gotten too comfortable. And so whenever I learned how to get comfortable in an uncomfortable situation, then that really helped me through other aspects of my life. I think the same is true with all of us. You know, there's some situations in life that are not always going to be comfortable. Look, the Bible never promises us sunshine and rainbows on this side of eternity. Now, God says whenever we make it to heaven, yeah, that's going to be perfect. But on earth, things aren't perfect. Ever since Adam fell, ever since Adam sinned, look, life is not perfect. As a matter of fact, we forget sometimes Jesus was killed. Like, Son of God, he didn't have it easy. He was killed. As a matter of fact, the Bible even says he gets baptized, and whenever he gets baptized, the Holy Spirit descends upon him. The heavens open up. God speaks out loud audibly, like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened. And then the first thing that happens after that, the Bible says that he walks into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Life isn't perfect, but Jesus understood how to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. Did you know that the disciples, every one of the disciples, except for one, they were all put to death. Only one disciple died of old age, and he was tortured before he ever made it that far. The Bible says that Elijah in the Old Testament had to go through a drought. His country was going through a big issue, kind of like we're going through today. And the Bible says that he survived miraculously by birds bringing him bread. And he lived next to this great river where he could get fresh water. But the Bible says that one day the birds stopped coming and the river dried up. Like, things aren't always perfect for us. And so you can't go through life expecting everything to be perfect. You've got to understand that you've got to learn how to be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. And so that's exactly how Jesus did. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. So the Israelites are ready to move on from Moses. They're ready to go into the promised land. They've been in a desert for 40 years. They've been in a struggle for 40 years. And they're getting to the place that God has promised them to be. And he's sending them with a new leader, with Joshua. And so you would think, okay, guys, you've been through a struggle. Now let me put you in a place where everything's going to be perfect and easy. Wrong. The Bible says this, be strong and courageous. Listen, God will never tell you to be strong and courageous if something's going to be easy. There's no reason to be strong and courageous. If everything's going to be comfortable, you don't need to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So the first thing we got to learn today, how do we deal with all of this stuff? We got to be like Jesus in the boat. We got to learn how to be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. The second thing I want you to look at in the story is it says that Jesus stood up and rebuked the storm. Now, the reason that's important is this. The word rebuke there is the same term that is used throughout the New Testament for rebuking or dealing with demonic forces. So when Jesus is dealing with a person that's a demoniac, he rebukes that person or that demon to cast it out of the person. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because he stands up and uses some spiritual terms to deal with what looks like a physical problem. We've got a natural storm, and Jesus is using spiritual terms to deal with it. Why is that happening? I think it's because the devil is always going to fight you to stop you from getting to your purpose. I believe God's got something for you on the other side of this storm, and the devil's trying to stop you from getting there. The Bible says that Jesus told the disciples, he said, let's go to the other side of the lake. Why? He understood that he had a purpose on the other side of the lake. One of the coolest stories in the Bible is in Mark chapter 5, the very next chapter, and it starts with when they made it to the other side of the lake, right? He gets there, and this demoniac comes up to him that has so many demons in him that when Jesus says, what is your name? He says, my name is Legion, for there are so many of us in here. And Jesus cast the demons out of this guy. The guy ends up being put in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning, and then wants to go with Jesus. When Jesus tries to leave, Jesus says, no, you need to go back to your hometown, go back to your family. And the Bible says he went and spread the gospel everywhere he went. So that guy was important, super important to the spreading of the gospel, but no one would have ever reached him had everybody gotten scared in the storm and stopped going across the lake. So Jesus understood that the enemy's trying to stop them. So are you telling me, Gabriel, that this virus stuff, are you telling me that the issues I'm having in my job or my relationships, are you telling me that all of this stuff is from the devil? Are you saying that this is sent from Satan to attack me? No, I'm not saying that at all. I mean, I don't know where the storm is coming from, but I do know this. The devil doesn't have to stir the water in order to ride the wave. Think about that for a second. The devil doesn't have to stir the water in order to ride the wave. In other words, this storm may be a natural storm, but the enemy is very good at riding that wave of fear into your life. He can use what is natural. He can use what is already happening just to bring fear into your life. One of the biggest problems that we have as humans is this idea of being afraid and being anxious, and the devil doesn't have to stir it up. The devil doesn't have to cause it. All he's got to do is ride it in. All he's got to do is ride it into your life. So we've got to make sure that we're rebuking the right thing. Look, you can stand up and you can rebuke the virus, and that's fine. But what we need to be rebuking is what's riding in on that virus. Panic, anxiety, fear, doubt, hate. All these things that the devil wants to use to bring into our life to pull us down. The Bible says this. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. A couple of things. Number one, he prowls around like a roaring lion. What is a roaring lion doing? It doesn't say attacking lion, it says a roaring lion. In other words, he's making a lot of noise. And right now, one of our issues is we're hearing a lot of noise. We got a lot of information coming in, and it's scaring us. It's worrying us. It's putting us in a place of fear, not in a place of faith. And so the enemy wants to attack us. How? With his words, with his noise, he wants to ride in on this wave and begin to make us fear. The other thing it says is looking for someone to devour. That word devour could mean, in the Greek, it does mean to eat, to swallow, but it also means to overwhelm. Do you feel overwhelmed this morning? Has some of this stuff started to overwhelm you? Listen, I would love to sit behind this camera and act like I'm perfect, but I'm not. I was telling Perry just the other day, I woke up at 2:00 in the morning and could not go back to sleep. And I said, I was just like, my heart was racing. I was feeling overwhelmed. I was feeling anxious. I was feeling scared. I started thinking about the church and about, you know, not having service. I started thinking about the finances. I started thinking about our finances. I started thinking about what are we going to do moving forward with the kids and their grades? I mean, all of a sudden it was like, it hit me at 2 a.m. of all times. It hit me. And I felt that overwhelming sensation, that something sitting on your chest sensation. Do you ever feel that way? If you feel that way, let me tell you something. That's not from God. That's not from God. God put in you the ability to have faith. The enemy, though, wants to take the fear that's in you, and he wants to overwhelm you with it. And so we've got to make sure that we understand that we don't have to live in that fear. We can stand up and we can rebuke the enemy. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, Jesus speaking, he says, "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you." He's not saying for you to go walk around real snakes. Okay. When they use snakes and scorpions in the Bible, they're using that as spiritual enemies, right? Demonic enemies. And what Jesus is saying is, he says, "I've given you all the authority over the power of the enemy. Now you have the ability to walk among them. You can stand in a room with the storm, with the waves of the enemy crashing over you, and you can rebuke the wind and the waves. You can stand up and rebuke the enemy. You can stand up and rebuke fear, rebuke anxiety, rebuke depression. You can do that. You have that power and authority." We often think that we got to get that from the preacher, or we got to get that from the missionary, we got to get that from somebody else. No, baby. You got it in you. As long as the Holy Spirit is inside of you, the Bible says you have power and authority. So you need to act on that. Act on that. The third thing is this. Jesus said, "Are you still afraid?" In Mark 40 and 41, he asked them, "Why are you afraid?" In other versions there, he says, "Are you still afraid?" He says, "Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. Once Jesus dealt with the storm on the water, he turned and had to deal with the storm inside the disciples. Every one of us, we can look out here and we can talk about what's going on out here, but really where the storm is in here, right? The storm is really going on inside of us. And the fear was causing panic on these disciples. I want to quickly just tell you a couple of things that fear does. Fear, number one, magnifies. There's a word, I had it in my computer. I didn't bring it out here with me this morning, and so I'm not even going to pretend like I know how to say it because it's kind of a long word. But there's a word for this, and it's where fear literally inside of us becomes magnified. So in other words, if you're already scared, then anything little that's not scary becomes scary. For example, how many of you have ever been watching a show like watching a nature show, and they're showing spiders on the nature show, like big spiders? My brother is deathly afraid of spiders. I'm not a big fan of spiders if I can't see them. If I can see a spider, it's all good, right? I can hit it with a shoe or someone else's shoe. But if I can't see it, that's a problem. So like camping sometimes, it kind of gets me a little bit. But have you ever been watching a show about spiders, and you're watching the show and you're kind of already getting a little bit on edge about spiders, and then all of a sudden, a string on your shirt tickles the back of your neck. And what do? You freak out and you're throwing stuff and you're hitting things. Why? Normally, a string on the back of your neck wouldn't have bothered you at all. You would have just reached back there and popped it off. But whenever you're already scared, you're already concerned about the spiders, then now all of a sudden every little thing begins to freak you out. The other night I was at the church by myself. It was like 8 o'clock at night. All the lights are off. It's dark outside, and I'm in the building by myself. I'm telling you, I heard every little thing that happened in this building, right? Because I'm already, as a kid, I was already scared of being in the church by myself. And as an adult, I guess that's still in the back of my head. So just being in a building like that, and so I would hear something like, the wind would blow and the door would shake. And I was like, oh man, someone's coming in. You know, time to get your gun. It's one of those things that fear will magnify. If you look at the verse, the disciples in verse 38, they said Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" Their fear was magnified. These are guys that have been on the water before, but all of a sudden their fear is magnified. And it's because there was already something in them. Then whenever something else comes along, it makes it even worse. For some of us, our fear is becoming mad. There's some of you that are already scared. There's some of you, if you hear somebody has sneezed at church, you won't come to church for 3 weeks because you want to make sure that the whole place has been disinfected before you come in there. You already have that fear inside of you. So now whenever the government says, we've got this virus and you need to quarantine yourself, there's some of you that probably haven't left your bedroom in 2 weeks. Your fear gets magnified, right? We do that sometimes. We get scared of things, and then all of a sudden fear comes in on top of that. It begins to magnify. The other thing fear does is fear will control you. Fear will control your actions if you let it. So many of us, once we get afraid, all of our actions, all of our thoughts, all of our decision making is determined by fear, not faith. There's been times in my life, I shared this with someone the other day, where Perry and I may have wanted to do some things or make some decisions, and because I was afraid of maybe not having enough money to get something done, or maybe I was afraid of not having enough money for something else that I wanted to do, that all of a sudden all of my decision making leading up to that was based on fear, not faith. And I would just, I didn't know what to do. So I would try to make everybody else afraid. I want everybody to think the way I think. I want everybody to be scared the way I'm scared. And so fear begins to control how the decisions are that you make. And listen, fear will not only control your decisions, but once fear controls your decisions, then it will force you to try to control other people. Fear makes you want to control everybody else. Have you ever noticed when someone's afraid of something, they want to get everybody else out of the room, even though they're the only ones that's afraid? Think about that for a second. Fear will control your decisions, and then it will force you to try to control other people. So we got to make sure that we understand that we're getting that fear out of our life. The third thing fear does is fear forgets, specifically God's word. Now I want you to look back at verse 35. In verse 35 of our story, it says, "As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us cross to the other side of the lake.'" Okay, now that may not sound like a big word from God, but Jesus said, here's the plan. The plan is we are going to cross the lake and get to the other side. Jesus knew there's a man over there that I need to set free from 1,000 demons so that he can go minister to other people. So there's a plan in place. I've got to get from here, from point A to point B. And Jesus told the disciples, that's the plan. This is what we're doing. So the disciples get out in the water and a storm comes. Why is Jesus asleep on the boat? He's asleep because he knows they're going to make it to the other side. He's not concerned about the storm because he knows this is the plan. This is what God told me is going to happen. No matter what the storm is, no matter what the government says, no matter what the people around me are doing, no matter what kind of issue is going on, I know what God said for me to do. I know where God said I'm going to be. And so then I'm going to get there. But the disciples, because of fear, forgot that. They forgot that Jesus said that. And they said, we're all going to die right here on the lake. They should have known Jesus has a bigger purpose in life than to die on the lake. He's got to get to the other side. Listen, don't let fear make you forget the promises God has already made to you. Don't make fear make you forget the word God has already spoken over your life. There are things God has put in you to do, and God is going to get you to those things. And we got to have faith to believe that. So how are we going to end this today? We're going to end this by having faith. Jesus said, you still not have enough faith. So how do I build my faith? What are the things I need to do to have faith? Well, we're going to go to Psalm chapter 23. Very common verse, passage. A lot of people quote Psalm 23, even if they don't know the Bible. They quote Psalm 23. So I want to read Psalm 23 because Psalm 23 shows us what faith looks like. Okay? Faith looks like this. Faith looks like us trusting the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. First of all, let me just back up to where it says, even though I walk through the darkest valleys and I'm in the presence of my enemies, darkest valleys there. Also, some translations say in the valley of the shadow of death and in the presence of my enemies. These are uncomfortable places that David is very comfortable. You and I can be comfortable in uncomfortable places. Why? Because we know that he is with us. He is with us. The Bible says he's with us in the darkest valley. He is with us in the presence of our enemies. Not only is he with us in the presence of our enemies, but he's creating a feast for us. He's preparing a table for us right there in the middle of our enemies. So when we know that the shepherd is with us, we can have faith in the shepherd. We can trust the shepherd, right? He says, I will not be afraid. Why will I not be afraid? Well, there's four things that he says in Psalm 23 that I think are important. So today, if you're taking notes, write these four things down. I'm going to give you a scripture for each one of these four things. And as we write them down, and as we jot down that scripture real quick, I want you to use these things to just meditate on this week. When fear comes into your life, when the enemy tries to ride that wave of fear into your heart, into your mind, here's what I want you to remember. I want you to remember these four things. Number one, I will not be afraid because you will guide me. You will guide me. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Right now, we need the shepherd to guide us, right? He says he will guide us along right paths and bring honor to his name. We need him to guide us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide us in all truth. You know, part of the biggest parts of fear is lies, hearing lies. You know, I think it's funny how often we watch a movie, right? You can watch a movie. You can watch an alien movie, a scary alien movie. When I was a kid, it was sharks, you know, watching Jaws. I've shared this before, but I remember when I was watching Jaws as a six-year-old or seven-year-old kid, however old I was, and I remember going to bed, and I lived I was in a house, I had a bed, I had a tile floor, right? There's no water, there's no ocean, and I knew Jaws was under my bed. I knew I had to run and jump and leap and get on top of the bed in order for Jaws not to come out and get me. What happened? Fear caused me to believe a lie, right? And so what's happening right now is we're allowing fear to cause us to believe a lie, but the Holy Spirit has come to guide us, specifically guide us in all truth. So what do? We lean on him. We depend on him. We trust him. That's what faith is. Faith is trusting in God to guide us on the right path, to guide us into truth, to guide us to a place where we're honoring his name. And the second thing that Psalm 23 tells us is it tells us that we don't have to be afraid because he protects me. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 in the English Standard Version says, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. I love that. He will establish you on a firm foundation. He sets you up and then he protects you against the evil one. God is my protector. I'm not afraid, right? I'm not afraid. Why? Because I have faith. I trust the shepherd to protect me because I'm one of his sheep and he loves me and he cares for me and he's going to watch out for me. It doesn't mean that I'm foolish. It doesn't mean that I go out there and I do stupid things. But it also doesn't mean that I have to stay in my corner and never branch out and do anything that God wants me to do because I know that he's going to protect me and watch out for me. Number three, it says, you comfort me. You comfort me. I don't have to be afraid because he comforts me. In 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, I love this verse. It says this, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God, our merciful Father, and the source of all comfort. Right there is amazing. Underline that. Highlight that. He is the source of all of your comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Listen, folks, God is the source of all your comfort. And when you allow him to comfort you, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a comforter. He's somebody that comes along beside you. Earlier in Psalm 23, it says, I can go through the valley of the shadow of death because you are beside me. That's a word for comfort also. Listen, he comforts us. Why? So that we can go comfort others. During this time, this is not the time, I get it, social distancing, quarantine, isolation, whatever you got to do, that's fine. I get it. Obey. Do what you're supposed to do. But it doesn't mean that you can't text, email, Facebook, Insta, whatever you got to do to reach out. Phone. I forgot about phone calling. We don't ever call people anymore. Call somebody on the phone. Hey, reach out to the people around you. Comfort people. Love on people. If you're part of our Gateway Family Church and you're on our community Facebook page, this week we're already getting people lined up to just share a quick word of comfort and prayer every day. We want to provide that for you so that you can connect with each other and we can comfort each other as we are comforted by the Holy Spirit. The last thing the Bible says on there is He will provide for us. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I want." Listen, I believe that even in an unstable economy, God will still provide your every need. I truly believe that. Now, I'm one of those guys, I also believe in being wise financially, right? Like, we don't just go spend on crazy stuff. But I believe that God will provide your every need. I'm laying in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, upset, anxious, worried. And I just know this, at the end of the day, I can look back on God's faithfulness in my life and in my family's life, and I know that every step of the way, He has provided for us. Through every storm, through every economic upturn and downturn, God has provided for us every step of the way. He has always been faithful to us, and I believe He always will be. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "In this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." This morning, we want to close out our message with just a question. Are you afraid, or do you have faith? Are you afraid, or do you have faith? That's where we struggle. That's what we're dealing with today. Next week, we'll talk a little bit more about faith. We'll talk a little bit more about what that means and how to have faith and how to walk in that. But for today, let's deal with this idea of fear. Maybe right there where you're sitting, maybe you're struggling with some fear this morning. Maybe you're watching this later and you're dealing with some fear in your life. And maybe you've noticed that the fear has become magnified during this time. Or maybe you notice that fear has begun to control your actions. You're looking back on your life and you're saying, "I used to not act like that. I used to be more courageous than that. I used to be more trusting than that." But somewhere along the way, fear got in. And I can see that it's changed how I do my life. It's changed how I deal with other people. If you've allowed fear to get into your life, then we want to pray with you this morning. I know it's weird, it's awkward, it's a screen, right? There's no one here to really pray with you. But I want to tell you something. If you need prayer today, comment. Put it down in the comments below. Say, "Hey, I want somebody to pray with me today." And I know we've got some of our prayer team members that are watching this, and they are going to pray for you. As soon as they see those comments pop up, they will begin to pray for you. And we are believing today for you to be strong and courageous, that you'll be full of faith and full of boldness and full of courage. And I believe today you don't have to walk in fear, but you can walk in faith. Let me pray for you before we go. Lord Jesus, I love you and I thank you for everybody watching this video today. I thank you for the opportunity, God, for us to be able to be with one another, even if we can't be with one another. But we just ask today that you would rebuke fear in our life. For some of us, God, we've got this storm of fear rising up. The enemy is riding the wave into our life. And so, God, today we stand up and we rebuke that fear in Jesus' name. Fear, you have no place in my life. You have no place in my family. You have no place in my friends. Today, Father God, we ask that faith would rise up, trust would rise up, God, that we would lean on you and not on our own understanding. God, we would trust in you above all else. And God, I thank you that your word says that if we are anxious about anything, that we can come to you, we can pray to you, and that your peace that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We love you and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.